The following Dharma talk was given by Trudy Jinpu Hirsch Abramson at the Zen Center of New York City. Reverend Jinpu is a Zen priest and chaplain supervisor at Vassar Brothers Hospital in Poughkeepsie, New York. She first ordained with Daido Roshi at Zen Mountain Monastery, serving as Shuso in 1998. After entering full-time chaplaincy work, Jinpu received priestly transmission in the White Plum Asanga from Enkyo Ohara Roshi at the Village Zendo. We hope you enjoy the talk.
We just finished a workshop on aging, so I'd like to keep that going. So I've used that to consider the talk I'm presenting today. I'd like to start with something I read, and it says, "Make now the most precious time, for now will never come again." And to me, that sums it all up. You know, I could stop now. There is nothing that Zen Buddhism can offer you more than checking out the now. And that's still separate. So, but it keeps pointing you to embody the now. That's still separate. It's a little more embodied. And then it continues to push you to drop all your conceptions of what this now might look like. You have ideas about it, you sit with it, how do I get to the now? Separate after separate after separate. And most of us work so hard to figure this out. And I'm here to tell you, it is not figure outable. What Zen training can do for you is keeps putting you up against where you stop the now, where you resist being present to your life, where you resist being present to every moment as it's occurring. And that takes training, because we, as soon as we're born, we start separating. And if you know about the Four Noble Truths, the Second Noble Truth really deals with, the First Noble Truth is there is suffering in the world. Fact, right? You've all heard that. It's not an untruth, it's a truth. There is suffering in the world, and if you live past your birth, you will start to realize it. I mean, if you think about it, the baby's born and it's smacked on the bottom. It's like, get ready, right? Get ready. And what does it do? It starts crying. It starts to enter this world, navigates this world from a very young age. So if I'm giving a talk on aging, one of the misconceptions is that as soon as I was asked to give this talk, I started to think, aging, okay, 65 and up. But that's not it. It's not 65 and up, oh, then we start aging. It has a real negative connotation to it, and I think that's impregnated into our culture. And I think it needs to be relooked at. And maybe slowly we're starting to do that, because I think it's 17% of the population is 65 and older right now. That's a big chunk. So we can't keep playing this game that we played years ago, that maybe we only lived to about 65 then, and so it's a different story. Now 65 is the real 75. You know, we've gained 10-year possibility of continuing our life. But it's still got a connotation of you're downhill, we're downhill slogging now. You know, so whatever you had was in the past. Whatever good you had was in the past. Whatever you had accomplished in your life is now in the past. So how do you want to take the years ahead? You know, nobody really goes, yeah, now I've just, you know, maybe made enough money so I can do what I really want to do. And it's going to take just as much energy, if not more, because now you're completely have the possibility to invest in whatever it is that really turns you on. You have chance to do 100% energy and invest in that. We all do at all our ages, but the world captures us, you know. I spoke to somebody this morning and said, we're trying to catch up to yesterday every day. So think how far away you are from your now, right? Just to catch up to all the things I need to do so I can catch up to yesterday. Wow, it's sad. And the world's moving so fast, it makes it so hard to stop and smell the daisies. Used to be the old-fashioned joke, you know, stop and smell the daisies or eat that strawberry and really eat that strawberry. We don't have the time to do it. Look what we've done to ourselves. We don't have the chance to experience the fullness of our every moment. And that makes me sad. I really do. I'm getting teary-eyed. But maybe because I'm tired. My unmoored canoe drifts freely, carried by the current, with each bend of the river, finding wonder with the flow. Right? It's very beautiful. That's Yunmin. I think it's Yunmin. It's one of those old masters. My unmoored canoe drifts freely. He's basically talking about him and his life. Carried by the current, right? You're flowing with the current. You're doing what you are made to do. You know, the lilies of the field, if you're looking at that. It's toil and you don't have to work so hard. And it's not that you don't fill your spaces up with 100% of who you are. It's that you don't hold back. You don't believe it's going to happen tomorrow. You don't think, well, I have to keep investing. And then when I retire, then I'll take my vacation, or then I'll do what I want to do. And when I offered the workshop, I was trying to point to that. You know, don't wait till this tomorrow, whatever that means. It's a word. It's a label that makes us not have to really stand behind ourselves right now. It's one of those, we do that all the time. You know, tomorrow I'll do it. I'm a little tired right now. I'll get it all done tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come. It can't, because it is only now. So everything's a, you know, I can use the word bull. We bull ourselves, you know. Using the other word, I don't think in public is nice, but it is. We so much invest in our own story of resistance, our own story of pushing away. Even when you sit in zazen, you know, you go, well, this was a good sit or this was a bad sit. We're putting it in the caverns of our brain somewhere, like, that gets a check for I did good. This gets a check, I did bad. Give it up, you know, give it up. And it's not like, oh, okay, tomorrow I'll give it up. You know, it doesn't happen like that. It's when you take a step, take a step. When you do anything you're doing, imbue yourself with the joy of it. It can all be joyful. Even suffering has joy in it. You know, I'm a chaplain. I live my life in participating in the suffering, you know, even as a teacher. That's what I do. I participate so that I can hopefully get a sense of what part are you not looking at? What part are you not awake to? What are you holding back, stopping yourself from being complete? Buddhism 101, right? Complete and perfect, lacking nothing. We've probably all heard it. If you come to hear talks and things, you usually always hear that, right? You know, the Buddhist teaching, we are perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we hear it, and it goes into that shelf, like, oh yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through in my life. Yeah, you could be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, but let me tell you, I'm lacking, you know? And we reinvest in that storyline and making ourselves crystalline. You know, it's like rock candy. Have you ever made rock candy? Well, try doing it. Try doing it as a practice. Now, I'll give you all a practice. Make rock candy. You put sugar in a hot solution, more than it can take. You know, you boil the water, you keep putting sugar until it's super, super solutated. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. And then you drop in a string with a weight, with an anchored weight, and let's say a pencil on the top holding the string. So it's anchored weight with a string in the super solution. And if you wait long enough, what happens is crystallizes around the string. You get crystals of all that sugar it wants to crystallize, just like we do. But what happens is it stops being fluid. The solution sort of disappears into this crystallized me, right? And we all have done that. But do you want to keep going? Do you want, like the crystal solution, before it becomes crystal, it can be anything. That's like in our aging workshop, there's a potential when you're born. And then we crystallize it. So that potential no longer has the fluidity to move. So when we get to 65, it's no surprise. We are rock candy. You know, it's very hard at that point to remake yourself into at least a solution that could have that potential that we all remember from way back when every possibility was possible. Well, it still is. It still is. Right now, it's still possible. Whatever age you are, it is still possible. So just wanted to start with that one. Yesterday, we went through the 12 stages of human life, and somebody asked me, where did I get this from? And I collect things all over, so I can't remember where I got it from. But I think they're onto something. And what we did was we visualized being that age, imagining what it was like being that age. And I think it's a really good exercise to do, because what it does is gets you out of that crystallization for a little bit. And even in your imagination, you're thinking, what was it like when I was in the womb, right? We can all kind of imagine that it had to be amazing. That was way before crystallization. That was way before it rock candied in any way. All possibilities, it's fluid. And then slowly, if you see pictures of the forming fetus, it's slowly forming, crystallizing the body. And in that crystal is everything that has ever been born on the earth. So we know we must feel that we're complete and perfect, lacking nothing, somewhere, without the words, you know, in our core of our being. We've got to have a sense of that warmth and the fluidness, and we're being fed and we're being given everything we need, and you're not reaching for anything and you're not missing anything. You know, could you possibly imagine what that might feel like? And then stage two, we're born, right? It's birth, and that is under the title they gave it, hope. You know, when you're born, there's hope not only of yourself wanting to, now you're hungry, now you're, you know, you're doing all sorts of things, but there's hope from your parents as well that this is uncrystallized yet. This is still fluid. And maybe the parent does good, or maybe the parent is starting to enforce the crystal on this fluid substance still. And then you have problems, you know. I was made to be an artist, and they want me to be a doctor. You know, it's a forced crystallization, and we want to be affirmed, and we want the attention, so we're going to go to doctor school. And yeah, my parents seem happy, or this or that. You know, so it's very dangerous navigating, because we haven't made ourselves ourself enough, and we've gathered all this information of who we are from our parents, our peers, and then schooling, you know, and the society and what it tells you to do and what it's training you to do. So by the time, even, you know, 3 years old, you're starting to have expectations. Your parents have expectations. The world has expectations. You were born into a certain time and space. There are expectations. You know, if we were born in the Wild Wild West, we'd be trying to figure out how to ride a horse. You know, it's, there are expectations to every moment of this planet. The planet's aging. Everything's aging if we don't start it at 65. If you just think aging is one of those labels, it means fluid, continuous movement and change. Everything's changing. Everything's moving. The sun is aging. We're not here forever. We're not. It can't be. It has to move. Whether, who knows? I don't know, you know, what the future holds, but it, I do know that if you think this is going to be the way it is right now forever and ever and ever, phew, I don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. But yes, it is changing. Everything is changing. You are changing constantly. Do you recognize yourself when you were 3 years old? Can you even imagine what you look like? What you look like at 12 years old? What you look like at 20 years old? Can you see that even when you look in a mirror, it's not the same face, at least? It's like being taught to you constantly, change. There's nothing to grab onto, nothing to hold onto. It's all stepping into the unknown. And what that does to us is makes us greedy for security. We want to grab something. Please, something don't change. So we find a job that's we think is steady, or we find a mate that's going to tell us they come home every day, maybe. You know, it's like, it's all mobile. It's all actually very, very fluid. And the crystallization that we do to ourselves and that our society does to us interferes with that mobility, because it's offering fear. Eat fear. Because if you eat fear, then we can tell you what to do with your crystals, right? So pay attention to what's happening to you, how you've changed in so many ways. And start thinking, what would it look like if I could be fluid? You know, we ended the workshop with something like that. If you could be anything, if you hadn't had all that crystallization happen, if you, let's say, go back to 6 years old when it's playful, if you could be that, what is it you wanted to do? You want to play with a doll? You want to play with a tractor set? You want to build? You want to, what were you interested in? You know, that's our birthright. And I would say, see if you can remember. And then maybe add a little of that to your life as it is now. You'll bring some joy to your life, because six-year-olds are never wrong. You know, there's not a right and wrong at that point. So they're just doing what they're enjoying to do. And it could be helping others. It could be building skyscrapers. It's not like what you do. It's how you're fulfilled in your doing. You'll have a much happier life that way than doing what you don't want to be doing and waiting till you're 65 to, oh, then I'll do what I want to do. At that point, you are crystal. You're probably not going to do what you want to do. And, you know, it's not even me that says the fact of, you know, as soon as people retire, they either are urgently pushed into finding something, a life force for themselves, or they retire and it's not too soon, they die. And look at that. Why do they die? Because it's over. That path is over, and they can't even imagine being fluid at that point. So that happens quite often, or they get a disease, and it's, you know, so they're not even responsible for it in any way. Keep that in your mind. I'll just read these quickly just so you get a sense of it. Infancy is under vitality. Early childhood is playfulness. That's your 3 to 6 year old. Late childhood, 9 to 11, ingenuity. That's when you start getting clever and you're driving your parents nuts usually. Adolescence, very difficult. You know, talk about changes. I mean, we look, 65 up, we look in the mirror and we go, oh, my face has changed. It's been changing since you can't even remember what you look like in these times. It's been changing, but now it's like, oh, the society says the wrinkle's bad. I better fix that one that's the, honestly, if we were honest, we'd say, oh yeah, wrinkle and sagginess or whatever equals mortality. We jump to that, and that's a stop sign of, I'm not going to be fluid. I'm at the end of my existence. Better just flow, just bleh, couch potato it or whatever, My favorite TV show, just 24/7. But we do that to ourselves. We're set up to do that, but we still buy into that. I'm asking you to reflect on that. It doesn't have to be that way. I think I'm 68. I feel more in line with who I am and what I want to do than I did my whole life. And I've had a, you could say busy, crazy, nutsy. I've done the gambit of living lives within this life. But right now I sit on myself, And that self is much more inclusive than it was when I was 20 or 30. Partly because I guess chaplaincy was a real teacher for me. Buddhism was fantastic. I wouldn't be who I am without that training to look at my mind and see what I'm doing with it, see what I'm creating with it, see what kind of crystals I'm letting happen to me and what crystals I'm creating. You need a job, you need to make money, you need all that stuff, but hopefully it's something you still like to do. Hopefully you're not torturing yourself to bring home a paycheck. I would rethink that. It's maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not. Maybe it's the perfect thing for you to do a job that you're working 80 hours a week so that you can buy more and invest more in stock market and all the rest of it. And maybe that is who you want to crystallize into, and that's fine, but be true, be honest, and really be honest. Not just, oh yeah. I mean, what does it mean to be really honest with yourself? That is not easy, but that's what comes out of this practice. Because you know when you're bull yourself, you know it. Because you're busy listening, when beginning meditation, we just had it, and I said, see if you can see what's going on in your mind. That's only this part of you, just a tiny crystal of yourself. There's so much more, and so much, you have so much more ability, so much more potential. You have all these ages in you. They're yours. You live through them. You know how to navigate them, right? We live through all of this. It's not then. It's living now. I can pull out the six-year-old. I can goof with the best of them. Actually, I love doing that. I think, it's a place I enjoy being. But I can also be 20. I can also be 80. I can also imagine being 100 and what that would offer me. By that point, I hope to accumulate a lot of experience, and I hope to be able to offer it. What happens is after you live a certain amount of time, you're getting a sense of what would be useful, what isn't, and you simplify, and not simplify so you're not doing anything or you're nothing, simplify so you are pure to your crystal, if you want to be a crystal, and you know how not to be a crystal. Zen practice also will directly point to the moon, not the finger, which we get caught in, but directly. You know, it's very different. It's like when we started with the dualistic problem of this reality, and we get caught all the time, back and forth, up and down. What Zen practice will do for you is, first you'll realize, oh my God, we do live in this duality. Everything is based on duality. I did well, I didn't do well. I succeeded, I failed. If you really look at yourself, you'll recognize duality working everywhere. So that's like, I remember that was one of my biggest things that I paid attention to in beginning meditating. It was like, oh my God, I'm tossed all the time to the wind. You know, it's like, how do I navigate that? And when you sit, you're centered. So already you're navigating it. You know, when you sit and you breathe and you're following your breath, you're already navigating the middle way. You don't have to live there, you know, but if you have an anchor in that middle way, you can go to the extremes. You're free to go anywhere you want because you know the center is always there. That middle way is always available to you. So that's a powerful thing to know about a practice. We don't teach, you know, it's like Zen teachers, you know, you've heard, we don't have nothing to teach. It's true. There's nothing. I can't give anybody anything, you know, but I can point out, or I could say, check out that moon, or hear the lightning, but don't hear the lightning. You know, it's like, it's immediate, and you can catch on to that wave sometimes. And as soon as you catch on to one of those waves, you know what it is that you're going for, in a way. And of course, going for is a separation. But we are separate, especially as we start out, you know. The baby wasn't, and all those early years weren't. And that's why it's so much fun having grandchildren, because you get to relive it through their eyes. And you can see, well, they're not dealing with duality. No, they're not dealing with being stuck. Actually, we have to protect them because they have no boundaries at that point. You know, they see a fire, they'll put their finger right in it. It's not like, oh no, don't put your finger in that fire. So there, we have that innate in ourselves. All that knowledge is in us as we get on with our life. Don't just chuck it in. Invest in it, you know, let it percolate. Don't let it be so crystallized that you can't pull it from yourself. Okay, so middle childhood is 6 to 8, and that is under imagination. What a gift, right? What an amazing gift, imagination. We have the opportunity, I can imagine going to Mars, you know, wow. I can imagine all sorts of things. I can imagine being a truck driver, right? I can imagine that. So it's like value and feel grateful that we have that miraculous gift of imagination and practice it, use it. It's a great thing to practice because it will immediately make you unstuck in ways you think you're stuck. Adolescence, so hard. You know, those are changes that in your face. It's like your body's changing almost before your very eyes and you have no idea what to do with those hormones. And it's like, wait, how do you navigate that? And we have. So you have that knowledge too. You have great changes. So let's say I'm 70 and I need a knee surgery. It's going to change my life from maybe it's a very difficult thing and I'll need a cane or something, right? So my life changes in ways that, yeah, it's going to get me bummed, but it's no different than changing into, you know, having breasts or having hormones or being ruled by your your hormones or whatever goes on in adolescence. You know, it's like we've done that. We've navigated that. We have that knowledge. And you wouldn't be sitting here if you didn't successfully navigate that in some way. So you have all that you can touch, you can reclaim. Let's see, early adulthood, 20 to 35, enterprise. You know, that's when we start going, oh, I'm 35, I should have a job, I should have a family, I should do this, I should. You know, almost that word I hate more than anything else, but I think that's the word that for me encompasses that period of life. That's where the culture says you better get down to it because you're already 35. You know, it's like if you don't have it all together by that point, you're a failure, or you're a slacker, or you're a beach bum, or, you know, it's like maybe that is a crystal you want, right? But you have to know it's not admired by the world at large, because they want to put you into the section that's designed, they think, for who you are, or not, you know, just to get a you know, to keep their business going or whatever. And you're one of those cogs in the wheels, which is okay if that works for you. If it doesn't, start to rethink who you are and what your needs are and what you'd like to go back to 6 years old and play, you know, see what comes up for you. Midlife, 35 to 50. As soon as I say these numbers, aren't you using your imagination to imagine, oh yeah, 50 is like if I haven't pulled it together and I don't have, you know, beginnings of grandchildren at that point, you know, I've messed up my life. You know, it's like, no, you haven't. We're constantly moving. This is where you are right now. And that's where Buddhism comes in again and says, it's all going to happen right now. It's right here. Just who you are right now, right here. And that's what you sit with. Not your wishful thinkings as much as sit with where you're at, who you are right now. Because you have to start there. You have to. Have to. Mature adulthood. Get your imagination ready for this. 50 to 80. You know, that's, I'm living in that one. And it's benevolence. I love that one, benevolence. Believe me, I'm not so benevolent. It's peace, little crystal of mine, but it's not making me the whole. late adulthood, 80 plus, and it says guiding others. You know, I don't think they've done enough work on all those because we don't go there. I don't think you talk about aging much to people, you know. So I'd like to discover for myself what those ages offer me. But I remember I've navigated all the rest of it. I've got it in me to navigate as far as this takes me, you know. So that's it's a good feeling. Maybe I'll have a chronic illness. Maybe I'll have cancer. Maybe I'll this or that. I have navigated all this. I will live those moments. I will live those moments. I was remembering that master who, you know, died screaming. I'm not good at recalling perfectly these stories, but I get the gist of them. He was dying and his disciple was with him, and the master who was dying was screaming out in pain, and it was a painful death, and the disciple was going, well, you don't have that peace I thought you were going to get. If you're a Buddhist master, you should be peaceful no matter what's happening. And the master doesn't even hear him. He's so tortured by what he's going through, but he's inside of it. So the disciple leaves and goes to this other master and says, the master, classic story, where are you coming from? And he goes, master so-and-so, but I had to leave him after, you know, 10 years because I can't believe that I was duped, you know? I was duped by this guy because at the end of his life, he's carrying on like a banshee. What kind of master is that? And this master smacks him in the face and says, you know, you idiot, you fool. Don't you realize his screams could be heard throughout the universe, basically, the five counties, the universe. And what he's pointing to is the embodiment. And that's still separate. Remember that. The embodiment is if we can put something around something. But it's imbued completely, 100% completely imbued with what that moment is presenting to him. I think it's a fantastic story for what we're talking about. And then, guess what comes? Do I hear death and dying? Now, these are labels, you know. They're labels. Again, if you're... I've been with so many patients now who have died. Death and dying is words. They're words. Everybody's going to die in their own way, I hope. You know, unless you're so crystallized by something that you think this is how I have to die, and then you fail at dying. Do you know, it's not, you're not going to win on that one. But basically, it's, you know, it's always, you know, there's a certain kind of breathing that takes place on normal kind of dealing with death kind of thing, and then there's this. It's an exhale. What is so scary about a real embodied exhale? If your mind's not tripping you up, it's a beautiful exhale. I don't know where that continues, but I do know, you know, as above, so below, if this is continuous here, something's continuing. And it's only my fear that's making me go, okay, this is death. This is death. This is like, oh my God. You know, it's like, and we add to that. We put so many layers. So by the time we are on our deathbed, we're like, oh, you know, it's all in our head. So back to, you know, beginning meditation, find out what's in your head. You do that, then you find out how you're creating yourself. Because we do create ourselves and our world. This world is put together by our joint imaginary creating. All together. We're in this all together. Everything we do affects every other thing in this universe and maybe beyond. I don't know. But I do know. We're interconnected, you know. It makes me think of The Time of Your Life with Jimmy Stewart. Have you all seen that movie? It's probably old-fashioned at this point, but it's worth seeing if you haven't. It's a fantastic, poignant take on what would our lives be like if we were aware of it and we didn't exist, you know, if our life as we know it was wiped out, what would that be like? And they do a beautiful job because this guy's all worried about his family and not making enough money. And, you know, they go through all that and how important it is. And he's about to commit suicide. He's about to jump over a bridge to kill himself because he's worth This is like when he's worth more with the insurance that he's going to get if he's dead and his family could live on that than having him there. And he has two little blossoms in his pocket from his youngest child. Can't remember her name. Yeah. Good. But, you know, so you're getting a real emotional hit on, wow. And the angel comes down and says, you know, well, he said, that's a good idea. Let's see what your life would be like if you didn't exist. Because he's saying, it's better I'm not wouldn't exist. It's better if I were dead. It'd be better for my family at this point. So the angel comes down and says, okay. And, you know, magic. And they take it back in time as if he had never existed. And the whole town's different. And it's a greedy little town at this point. And everything's changed. And even the person he's married becomes this librarian, right? Who's never gotten married. So there's no children and there's no blossoms in his pocket. You know, it's like, and he starts to realize how many millions of people have interconnected in his life that he's affected and been affected by. And I think we need to all do that too. You know, we think it's just us, just my problem. We are so interconnected. What you see in front of you is the result of thousands of patients that I've allowed myself, even to the littlest amount, to be vulnerable with, to be intimate with, to feel, experience their life as my own. That's changed me big time and offered me the possibility of not clinging so desperately to this I. It really helped. It worked so beautifully with Buddhism, you know, my practice and chaplaincy, and it made it come alive, which is what I had desired. That's how I wanted to crystallize. You know? But the crystallization you see in front of you, you're seeing all these memorialized people who have passed on. I hold some of their story. So you're really looking at them also, you know. And it's made me a fuller, richer person. I love that I've shared some lives, you know. It's really a wonderful thing to do. In whatever way you want to do it, you know, you can do it in any way that works for you. I'm not saying this is your path, this is my path. And in Buddhism, we always say, you have your own path. Know what that is. That's what you can do is what is your path? What is your particular path that'll make you expand rather than contract? I've always used that, and I think it really works. If what you're doing makes you smaller and weaker, check it out again. If what you're doing makes you feel larger, expansive, and more inclusive, I think you're on a good path. And maybe it's that simple, you know. Are you shrinking? Or are you growing and fulfilling and you know, participating in a way that includes, you know, like this person I'm talking about in this movie. You know, he became a sage at that point, I think. You know, I really do. I think at the end he appreciated his life. His blossoms reappeared. He knew the love that he had as a father, as a husband, as the making this town the way it was in a very healthy way, rather than what it turned into when he didn't exist. That's pretty amazing. So watch that movie if you haven't, or rewatch it, because it's very profound, I think. Haven't gotten to my talk yet. I do need help in knowing when to stop. Okay. So just give me a tune in. Okay.
How much time would you like to be told?
How much time would I like? No, how much time do you usually offer for talking?
12:20?
Okay. See? Boundaries, very important. Okay. It's 12:22. So I did it. I would like to read this one thing from Shakespeare, which is, I really love this. It's that time of year thou mayest in me behold, when yellow leaves, or none, or few, do hang Upon these boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs, where late the sweet bird sang, in me thou seest the twilight of such day, as sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away, death's second self that seals up all the rest. In me thou seest the glowing of such fire that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as the deathbed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceives, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long. So I'll stop there with that, but love your life. This, you know, back to make now the most precious time. Make now the most precious time, for now will never come again. Okay.
Thanks for listening. You can find more Dharma Talks, interviews, and events at zmm.org/media. While online, please check out the Jizo Project, our multifaceted initiative to make Zen Mountain Monastery more accessible and welcoming to all. Learn about the new Jizo House building and accessibility enhancements to existing facilities that are just two aspects to this exciting endeavor. Find out more and see how you can get involved at zmm.org/JizoProject. That's JizoProject.